Just a minute, James, please.
Number 26, An Empty Mansion. Number 26. Here I labor and toil as I look for a home, just a humble abode among men, while in heaven a mansion is waiting for me, and a gentle voice pleading, come in. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me, at the end of my troublesome way. Many friends and dear loved ones will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion someday. Ever thankful am I that my Savior and Lord promised up to the weary sweet rest. Nothing more could I ask than a mansion above, there to live with the saved and the blessed. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me, at the end of life's troublesome way. Many friends and dear loved ones will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion someday. When my labor and toiling at in that below, and my hands I folded in rest, I'll exchange this old home for a mansion up there, and invite the archangel as guest. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me, at the end of life's troublesome way. Many friends and dear loved ones will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion someday. Let's turn that to 442. 442. My faith looks up to thee. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away, Oh, let me from this day be holy thine. By thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and chainless be a living fire. When life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow, tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. When in life's transient dream, when death's cold sullen stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above a ransomed soul.
I don't remember who had opened the prayer. Dave, would you give us an opening prayer?
Sure.
Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful to be assembled again this evening to learn more about your will. Father, we pray, Father, for our shut-ins that are not able to get out on a regular basis. We pray for them, Father, that their health might be improved. Father, we pray for Naoma, Father. She was here this morning, but she was struggling to breathe. And we pray, Father, for her lungs to be cleared and to where she can have good breath, and that her strength will return to her. Father, for those that have been in our assembly recently but have struggles, we pray for them, Father, that things that they need, they can be given. Father, we pray for all the souls, Father, that are seeking, all those that are seeking you and seeking the truth. Father, we pray that they might, that the truth might come to them, Father. They might study your word, and they might see where things need to change and that they need to respond, Father, to your gospel message, Father. Where we can be a part of that, Father, we pray that we're willing and able to help. And Father, for our assembly tonight, we ask that you be over us, Father. May your spirit be with us. May that we offer these prayers, these songs, to your name's edification and glory, Father. And Father, let it lift our spirits. Let it strengthen our souls. Let it be like food for our bodies as a nourishment to our souls. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. At this time, I'd like for you to mark in your songbook 799. 799. You never mentioned him to me. That will be our song of invitation after our lesson this evening. Once you get that mark, I'd like for you all to turn to 700. Number 700. To the work.
To the work, to the work. We are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balm of his counsel, our strength to renew, let us do with our minds what our hands find to do. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, let us fall, let us fall, and labor till Master comes.
To the work, let the hungry be fed. To the fountain of life, let the weary be led. In the cross of his banner, our glory shall be, while we herald the tidings, salvation is free. Toiling on, toiling on,
toiling on,
toiling on,
toiling on, toiling on.
To the work, there is labor for all, for the kingdom of darkness there shall be fall. In the name of Jehovah, exalted shall be, in the loud swelling chorus, salvation is free. Toiling on, toiling on,
toiling on,
toiling on.
Good evening. We're going to look at tonight some of the promises of God and to see that they come with conditions. You know, I think that there's a lot of promises of God in the Bible, of course, and it's important that we understand that, but it's important also to understand that God makes promises to us if we keep his commandments, if we do his will, if we follow what he wants us to do. We're going to begin tonight to talk about that we will be blessed if we diligently obey God. And we're going to be looking at both Old and New Testament scriptures. I think it's a good, like tonight, we're starting in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. Now it shall be, if you are diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the Lord your God. One of the things that strikes me in Deuteronomy is that God makes these promises, and this is just some of them, that he makes to the people, that if they will follow him and do his will, and that he's really going to bless them and bless them greatly. But he also turns and says, but if you don't do this, and he talks a lot about that too, then the consequences of not obeying God. And you look at the people of Israel, and you look at them even coming out of Canaan, you know, out of Egypt, into Canaan of Galilee. Of course, the 40 years of wandering came about because they did not trust him. They did not believe in him, because the 12 spies went out, and 10 of them came back and said, we can't do this. And the other two said, yes, we can. God is able. But the people listened to the 10, and they therefore wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And so, but by this time, it's getting towards the end of Moses' life. And Moses makes this proclamation to the people from God, that if you will diligently obey your Lord your God and be careful to do all his commandments, which I command you, then the Lord is going to bless them. He's going to watch over them. And the last question ends there, if you obey the Lord your God. And when we think about this, I think it's easy to, even for us today, it's easy for us, if we're not careful, to pick and choose. Well, I want to do this, but I don't want to do that. And to decide that we want to do all of what God commands us to do and be. God's great goodness is waiting for us in Psalms chapter 31, verses 19 and 20. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. I think before I go on to the next verse here, how great is your goodness. God is good. God is holy. God is righteous. God wants what's good for us. And he says that he stored them up for those who fear him, for those who take refuge in him. In other words, when we rely upon God and trust God and turn to him, God promises that he's going to take care of us and watch over us. And I truly believe this and feel blessed by it. And he goes on to say, in the shelter of your presence, you hide them from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling, you keep them safe from accusing tongues. Well, to feel protected, you know, is very important. You think about children, how important it is for children to feel protected and feel cared for and feel that they are safe and being watched over by God. He says he's going to hide us from the intrigues of men. Now, this is Psalms, right? This was during the time of David. Do we have intrigues of men today? Oh my, we do, don't we? Very much so. You read about it, hear about it, see it all the time in our world today. People are plotting and planning and trying to do things all that they want to do. And it says, your dwelling, he keeps them safe from accusing tongues. People accuse and say things that we have to be careful of and we have to watch out for, because God says it's going to happen, that people are going to be talking and saying things that probably they shouldn't be saying. They're going to say things that are going to hurt us and condemn us in many ways. And I'm sure that you have felt that before in your life. I know that I have in mine. He goes on to say daily that we should daily listen to God. Proverbs chapter 8, 34 and 35. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. It's a constant desire that we should have in our lives to be listening to God, to listen to what he has to say. Not in some, hocus pocus way, not in some magical way, but in some way that where we turn to God and hear his word. I mean, really hear it and listen to it. How does it apply to me? How does it apply to my life? Am I listening to what God is telling me to do? And watching daily at my gates. Now, that's a little hard for us to relate to because we don't, unless you have a gate at your house or something, you know. But the idea of waiting for God at his place, waiting for him and watching out for how God works at our house and our lives, waiting at my doorpost. Now, not my doorpost, but God's doorpost. This is God speaking here, that we should turn to him and trust him in his way for our life. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. I think we're looking for seekers, you know, in our lives. We look for seekers, and seekers sometimes come to us, and we need to find them. But he says, blessed are you who find me. And I find that sometimes those that are searching have a hard time accepting the things that we've been talking about to them and teaching them. But he says, we want to find, let us, you and me, find God's ways, find life, and obtain favor from the Lord. There's no other way in which we can live this and do this life and do it right unless we seek after what God desires so that we can find his way. We want to obtain God's favor. What good is man's favor to us in the judgment day? What good is that? What good is those wagging tongues that hurtle words against us? But we need to make sure we're walking God's way so we can find favor from the Lord. Psalms 1, 1 and 2 says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Well, we will be blessed if we do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. That's the first thing that he tells us here. Don't walk in the ways of wicked people, nor stand in the paths of sinners. We talked about this morning about the wide gate and the narrow road, right? And we don't want to be on that path that is the broad path that leads to destruction. We want to be on the path that leads to God and righteousness and holiness and eternal life. And we don't want to sit in the seat of scoffers. We don't want to be scoffing at God's word, scoffing at people that are trying to do the right thing before God. It's real easy to judge, isn't it? Real easy to look at people and judge their lives. But he says, don't do that. Don't scoff. Don't be a scoffer. And we don't want to sit in the seat of those that do it. We don't want to be like people like that. We want to be different and be walking in God's ways. He goes on in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. His delight. Are you delighted to be walking and living with Christ? Is it a delight for you? Is it a joy for you to walk and live with Jesus Christ? And do you meditate day and night upon his word? Do you take time every day to think about it? You know, I think this idea of meditating is that not so much like what people go, you know, like, where they do that kind of thing, but you think about it. Don't just read it, don't just study it, but dwell upon what God is saying to us. Think about it, internalize it, if you will. James chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. So this is kind of the negative approach to this, but if you're just listening and you don't apply it, you don't apply the word of God to your life, it's like the man that looks into the face mirror and goes away and don't remember what he sees. And for some, that might be that, and I don't see a whole lot of people of us tonight, men that have long enough hair that we look in the mirror and our hair's all messed up and we don't think about it. A lot of us have short hair in here tonight. But there's times when I have had longer hair and my hair's messed up and I don't even think about it. Look in the mirror and say, oh, yeah, it's ready to go. I thought, wait a minute, I didn't brush my hair today. James, do you have that problem? No? You know, I don't either. I don't now, anyway. I just got a haircut, right? But what are we doing? What are we looking at when we're looking in the Word of God? Are we examining ourselves? Not that I examine you, but you examine yourself. We've got to be that way so that we can make sure that we are living what God wants. He goes on to say in verse 25, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an actual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. How are we going to be blessed in what we do? Well, we look at the Word of God, we hear the Word of God, and we live it. We put it into action. And it's, look what he says, it's the law of liberty. We want to be set free from sin and death, don't we? We want to be walking where we're living in that. We abide by it. That means we live in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. So we listen, we hear, we do. This is what God calls us to be, and not just hearers only. If we give, we find that God will give back to us as well. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. I thought about this morning, James, when you went to Malachi in Bible class. It wasn't the same scripture, but it made me think about this. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. In other words, if you give willingly to God, God is going to give willingly to us. God is going to bless us beyond measure. It's overflowing. In the New Testament, this idea is also reflected in a cup of water that overflows and keeps on blessing. This idea is there for us as well, that we can't outgive God. I think we just need to remember that we can't outgive God. It's not just the money that we put in the collection plate, but the money that we use for God, use for His cause and use for His way. God is going to bless us beyond all that we ask or think. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. So we're blessed for helping. We're to be blessed if we're helping the helpless. Psalms chapter 41, verses 1 and 2. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive, and he shall be called blessed upon the earth. And do not give him over to the desires of his enemies. Well, we see this idea that we'll be blessed if we can help the helpless. What about that passage in Matthew chapter 25 that we've talked about several times recently, it seems like? Is that Jesus said what? That if you do it to the least of these, you have done it unto me. And so Jesus wants us to be helping people that can't help themselves. And we'll be blessed upon the earth, it says, and don't give over to the desires of his enemies. If God's going to protect us, if God is for us, who can be against us, right? God is going to protect us. God is going to watch over us. If we help, again, here's the if again. If we help those of the help, we help those that are the helpless. We're told to take care of the widows and the orphans, are we not? We'll be blessed for perseverance. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Again, blessed who perseveres under trial. For the one you've been approved, he will receive the crown of life. We talked about the crown this morning, didn't we? About the crown of righteousness that we will receive, which the Lord has promised to those, here's the catch, who love him. And we understand people will say, oh, I love God, right? But it takes more than just saying that. Again, it's not just a matter of hearing, but a matter of living it out and carrying it out. That action, again, that God calls us to do, is that he calls us to not just be hearers, but active listeners and doers. Therefore, God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you and me in every way. He wants to bless us. That's what God wants. That's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross and to be raised again. Not only to forgive us of our sins, but to show us the right way and how to live and how to act. In every part of your life, God wants to bless you. Every part. That's what God wants for us, and to take care of us and take watch out over us. In everything that we do, God wants to bless us. Everything. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All things through him. And to bring you to eternal life. That's what God does. That's why God planned before the foundation of the earth to send Jesus Christ to this earth for us so that we could have eternal life with him. If you will live faithfully and give him your heart and soul in loving obedience. There's that if again. And we find this maybe not always using the word if, but the conditions we see all through the Old Testament and New Testament that God calls us to live faithfully before him all of our life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, right? Everything God wants. Jesus is waiting for us to come to him. He's wanting us to be there. Every day he seeks us out. Won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing.
When in the better land, before the Lord we stand, how deep we grieve our souls will be. If any lost ones there should cry in deep despair, you never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day and knew I was astray, yet never mentioned him to me. Oh, let us spread the word wherever it may be heard. Help groping souls alive to see that yonder none may say, you showed me not the way. You never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day and knew I was astray, yet never mentioned him to me. A few sweet words may guide a lost one to his side, or turn sad eyes on Calvary. So work as days go by, let yonder not make cry, you never mention him to me. You never mention him to me. You've helped me not to lie, to see. You've met me day by day, and knew I was astray, yet never mention him to me.
I want to thank everyone for coming, and just to make sure, is there anybody that has not had the opportunity to take of the Lord's Supper? Okay. Let's not forget about the campers this week. As far as I know, it's going to be hot. I don't think it ever isn't hot in July, but it'll be a challenge for them youngsters. But anyway, is there anything that needs to be mentioned other than the potluck and men's meeting? Go ahead, Dave.
So I told some of the men earlier today that it just kind of happened that Doug's going to be gone next week, and I volunteered to speak both times. And then the very next day, I think it was Monday, Kurt Hale sent me a message saying that he was speaking at Mount Carmel on a rotational basis, and that if we ever needed a fill-in to speak, he'd be happy to do so. And so I called him this afternoon and told him everyone would be okay. So Kurt will be here. Kurt and his family, Kurt and Sarah and their family, will be here next Sunday morning to bring the lesson. And he said they're staying for potluck.
Good. So, good. So that's a good.
You only have to put up with me for one sermon.
Oh, so he's not going to be
standing
here.
Yeah,
okay.
He'll go on home, he said, after that. And then I'll bring the message next Sunday evening. So.
Well, thank you for that, David. And thank you for filling in for Doug. Doug, did you have something?
I just appreciate prayers for travel.
Well, Doug, that's a good thing. And we do hope you get there safely and return. Is there anything else that needs to be mentioned? If not, I failed to look at the thing on who has prayers tonight. But I'm going to let David Hutchcraft do the last one if he'd like to.
Let's go to our God in prayer. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer to give thanks for the beautiful day we've had, the beautiful times we've had at our gatherings here at the church, to hear your word, to sing praises. We ask your blessings for those attending the church camp, that all those young souls come to you in God. Heavenly Father, as Doug travels, we ask that you watch over him, give him safety, that he may return to preach us another lesson. Heavenly Father, we also ask that you watch over all those people throughout the world that are suffering with war, with hunger, with thirst. You bring them comfort, and maybe in this tragedy happening all over the world. We also, Heavenly Father, pray for our country, that you may bring leadership to our president that bring our country together. We also ask that you bring comfort to those of our church that are not able to be here with us, that are suffering with health issues and any type of issues, that they may return to your flock. Heavenly Father, as we leave this place of worship, we ask that you guide, guard, and direct us, that we may return at the next appointed time. And we ask all these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. If anybody has anything that they would want to put in the bulletin of the 29th, I will finish the bulletin up the Saturday I get back. So just put it on my desk if you would, so I can put it in the monitor.